Welcome to the test traffic working group. If you don't want to be in the test traffic working group, you're in the wrong room. For those of you who expected to see Alex Tudor up here, our chair, Alex unfortunately couldn't make it to Europe this week, so he sent his apologies and he asked me to take this over. I'm Henk Artewel, for those of you who do not know me, from the RIPNCC. We have a pretty full agenda, so this is, we have 2 one-hour slots, even those that are listed separately, I propose we just do this in one go, and this is what you'll roughly see in the first hour. We have a little bit of administrative stuff, we have one slide from the RIPNCC on TTM status and plans, and then we have 2 presentations, one by Richard Dahlstrand on and one by Rukik Kudrimoti, whatever. So that will take us through the first hour. Then the second hour, we have a second presentation by Rukik. This at RIPE 50, we started to discuss possible future scenarios for the measurement efforts. And one thing that came out of it was a proposal to do consumer broadband measurements. A small group of people has been talking about it, and this morning a very first draft of a proposal was published. I'd like to come back to it, see if people already read it and have comments, and the rest we'll take to the mailing list. Also, yesterday or the day before yesterday, Gerard Doering published a proposal to do multicast testing using the test boxes. I've put a little slot on the agenda if people want to comment on that proposal. It did already generate some discussion on the mailing list and was quite positive. And we have any other business. So to get started, as a scribe, I think we have Mark Sandkroos from the RIPNCC. Just so we get the record straight, if you make a comment, please state your name and affiliation. Then we have the blue sheets, even though they're white this time. I'll pass them around. And please sign them so we know who was here. Minutes from the previous meeting have been posted a long time ago. Are there any comments to those minutes? No? Then we'll declare them final. Are there any comments on the agenda? No? That's final then. Okay, and the first item is the status and report from the RIPNCC. And that's really short this time, since this is what the... as you all know, the operations department now runs the service, and the new project group just looks at the data. And I asked the operations manager if he could give a status update, and this is what he wrote me. We're running a stable service, we're running it as usual, and while this is a stable service, we are investigating if it's possible to run the service in a more efficient manner. Yeah. And that's really all he told me to show. So that was the 1 minute from the operations department. Okay, so now we have that. Let's see. The first speaker is Richard Dahlstrand on building a solution for active monitoring of the Swedish internet. So, Richard. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I couldn't think of a longer title, so I'm used to this one. My name is Rickard Ahlstrand. I'm working as an independent consultant with assignments within the Swedish internet. Okay, so I'm going to start with this project. Basically, is a project that was ordered by PTS, the Swedish Authority for Regulation of Postal and Telecommunication and also Internet. And this is basically some slides regarding that. Okay, so the project has some background information. It started as a concept called Demeter. It was basically built for doing distribution measurements of availability, performance, services, and infrastructure. And there are four installations running in Sweden at the moment. This probably doesn't say anything to you if you're not Swedish. Certificated, Sveriges Radio, Nikesi, and CITIC. Nikesi is the Swedish CCTLD. They're using this for monitoring of their SC slave server. Basically, they are measuring TCP bandwidth, UDP, jitter, ICMP round-trip time, service availability using DNS, and some other stuff. Okay, some timelines. We launched the first distributed DNS monitoring system at Nikesi 2003. Used basically, the primary goal was to get an accurate monitoring of slave servers, outsourced slave servers, to verify their availability. That was the primary use of the distributed model. 2004, we did two installations for distribution bandwidth measurements. Södersjukhuset and Sveriges Radio. Sveriges Radio is basically the Swedish broadcasting service. They have installations at a large number of sites here in, around Sweden, basically for broadcasting, TV and radio. And their need was to measure their outsourced infrastructure to see if they got the bandwidth they actually paid for. The same with Södersjukhuset, but in that they used it for communication between hospitals and basically to verify that the infrastructure provided them with the bandwidth they actually got. 2004, we started a generic internet service testing platform, basically launched to the distributed monitoring of website mail servers, and it basically gave us zero customers. Wasn't actually a good idea. At 2005, I got an offer from CITIC to actually rent this system, use it for internet monitoring instead. Instead of the original plan to actually use it to monitor like a website from multiple operators on the internet, we now used it for internet monitoring. We pinged all the measurement points, pinged each other, and verified the availability of all different operators. And we're still at 2005, but later on, and CITIC has started the phase one next planning, and they're basically moving it to a more operational stage. So, more about the CITIC project then. And I've actually cut and pasted some stuff from their webpage, and this is their interest in building a project like this. Everyone should have access to a broad range of communication services. The service should be easy to use, affordable, and good quality. The consumer should have access to clear information about rights and obligations. Should be well informed in order to be able to choose among which services and service providers. And Sweden should have a robust infrastructure for communication services, an active exchange of information. And this is like a couple of buzzwords from their English version of the web page, but basically, in short, it means that CITIC needs to know what happens on the Swedish part of internet, and not only for their own regulatory interest, but also for consumer information. So, a bit of a context. I build this system for Swedish measurements because it's the scope, Sweden. We live in Sweden. Not everybody, but the people using the system. Telia is basically the big player for broadband access. They're using the previously tax-funded copper infrastructure to distribute DSL. I think this is a common situation in many countries. The government have funded a communal fiber infrastructure. and we still use DSL as the last mile because it's not very cost efficient to have fiber into the actual house. But in large cities, they have basically are building new infrastructure to provide fiber all the way to the consumer. So this is the context of in which CITIC is trying to understand how internet is working. So basically, we can say that the penetration of DSL is very large. Many, many, many customers are using DSL as broadband access. Okay, phase zero. It's not a very good name. That means that we're not really doing this. It's a proof of concept. We are placing nine measurement points at different Swedish internet providers. They're not all at different sites, but some are actually sharing the same operators, but at different installations. We use low or no cost internet connections. That equals basically friends and family. So we had to take that, but it's very cheap. Each point is sending pings to each other measurement point once every minute, and then reports back the result to central server. So, and also CITIC is renting the system until it's running it. And we launched March 2005, and the contract says that we are scrapping the system by November 2005. So 6 months run of this is basically evaluation phase. So this is the setup. And basically we're 1 month to the deadline. So we probably have some results. But the goal of this phase was to basically see, can this type of measurement system work as a concept? Will it do what we set out to do, measure internet availability? Can we get any conclusions from the measurement we do? Can we say that the internet connection of this operator is most likely down for a large number of internet users during this time and so on? How does peering and transit affect availability? That was our main concern. We had no data on availability on peering and transit point because we saw that as a black hole. People tend to, like, if they operators hand over traffic to another operator, the traffic becomes their problem. But if the peering doesn't work, whose problem is it? So we saw that as a main interest here. And also, are there any availability problems between operators? Main goals. Okay. The system, and now comes the disclaimer. I don't take any responsibility for any measurement done by this system. It doesn't give you any real understanding of availability on any operator. So if there's any operator here, don't kill me. This is basically a public, CITIC basically made the same disclaimer. They made this information available publicly on their webpage, and the URL here you see is available today, so you can look at it. But as you see here, instead of typing out the operator's name, they use A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I. So you can't actually draw any conclusions. And when we made this system public, one of the comments was like, where do you click to change this? They had no people looking at this. They thought it was useless. Why do you provide this information if you don't tell which operator it is? But we have a large. If you can work your down into this web page, and you can look at a long explanation of how the internet infrastructure is built with peering and transit and operators exchanging traffic and what the actual idea of this system is. Okay, the closed part requires a username and password, and if you don't have that, you don't. Anybody have a username and password? Okay, I have, so I can continue. Basically, the measurement collection means that the measurement point runs a script every minute. The script starts by sleeping a predefined number of seconds. And the reason for that is that I don't want any measurements that be done to affect the measurements of other measurements done, so to say, how do you understand? it takes about 8 seconds to do active measurements of all the probes. So that means that each probe sleeps 8 seconds times the number of probe in the chain, so to say. So probe one doesn't sleep at all, probe two sleeps 8 seconds, probe three sleeps 16 seconds, and so on. The scripts then connect to the server using HTTPS and gets a list of IP addresses to measure. And the reason for that is because most IP addresses are dynamic. Some operators exchange the IP address once every 2 hours. So we have to get an updated list of IP addresses for the probes, and that's at instance two here, we're actually also reporting our own IP address to the server for measurements. Then we send 5 ICMP messages to each IP address. We collect the round-trip time with max, minimum, average, and standard deviation values. There's a delay of 0.1 seconds, so we're not using the standard delay of 1 second here. This would take too much time. And then we collect the measurement data, sends it back to the server using HTTPS, and adds it to the database. This is basically the measurement system. And it's a script, looks like this. You can download it. Hopefully it will work. Here you can see the delay. Each probe has a custom delay set. Then it sleeps that delay. Then it goes to a server. I haven't told you about the IP address. It gets a list. It tells which probe it is, gets a list of the servers, puts together, does a ping on according to specific parameters, puts together results, and reports it back to the server. Couldn't be simpler. And this is basically what you see in our front end. Each probe is reporting every 60 seconds. They are reporting, I'm showing the idle value here, basically how long was it since the last report. You can see that except for the one that's down at the moment, you're seeing that they're basically doing measurements more or less not at the same time. Some probes are actually getting longer measurements because it takes longer for them to report back and to get, because they are, some are on like 120-bit-k DSL connections with long response time and so on. But more or less, the theory should work here, and it actually does. And also, I have garbled IP addresses, you should be able to access any of these, but basically you get the IP address of the probe as well here, so you can access it. Okay, so the result here is an availability plot. I've sorted it on availability. You can get like which operator from and to are receiving which availability. So here you get like Song to Telia are getting 89.83% availability, and it's going up to about 100%. I haven't actually anybody that has 100%, but 99.99 or something. And so this is basically the result of the system. So I'm going to go through a couple of problems we've seen. First of all, client connectivity problems. I can say that it's not very easy to have 9 internet connections, to be responsible for 9 DSL internet connections for 6 months. I can tell you, in average, there is one failing every week. That you have to call you have to reboot the modem, or you have to call the internet provider. So I have a couple of things that I've collected there. Crashing ADSL modems, it happens, and I can tell you it's not that uncommon. Last mile infrastructure problems, like ADSL cable networks are not designed to carry packets. Packet network traffic, so they are actually not handling that so well, and they it seems like they are changing and rebuilding these infrastructures so often. ADSL, everybody knows the problems with ADSL. It's using an infrastructure that's not even close to providing the specs for handling data traffic, so you have problems with any kind of problems. from long distances to packet loss and low bandwidth and all that stuff. Unscheduled maintenance. I can say that I have never seen any scheduled maintenance. There's nothing on web pages when they do maintenance. I think there's like a marketing trick. Why do you want to put that, oh shit, the network is down, or the DHCP server isn't working on the web page? Because that, then you will lose customers, because customers will look at the web page to make sure that they're providing a good service. So basically, that's it. Power outage, I can say that that's not uncommon. I'm keeping my thumbs that these boxes aren't getting fried by lightning soon, because I haven't actually installed any lightning protection. But portal login problems, it seems some operators have a tendency to like the fact that clients are should be able to log in every time they want to get an IP address. And these portals doesn't seem to have that best, the best availability. I have to code scripts to actually get by this, but probably the scripts work, but the service doesn't work. DHCP service, I have a situation where one operator actually had a failure of a DHCP service for like 6 hours. The entire network must have been down. I can't see any other situation. And basically problems in the operator's distribution infrastructure. And operator buyout. Probably something going to happen more and more often in the next coming years. Smaller operators get bought up and their infrastructure gets moved on to the bigger operators' core infrastructure. So vacuum cleaners. No, it's not a big problem. But okay, so basically these are the problems. And I have no idea if any of these actually happens. I can be pretty sure that the vacuum cleaner part doesn't happen, because I've told all my measurement points owners that they shouldn't unplug the power. But we can't with this system actually tell you that the problems we're having are related to any of these issues. That was my disclaimer. Here's an output from the system. You can see very clearly that this is measurements to one of the operators called Boostream. And again, I'm not talking about any availability problems of Boostream in general now. This is the measurement point called Boostream. And here you can see that you have Comhem to Boostream has had availability problems, and Bredbandsbolaget has had the same availability problems. And if you go further down, you see that this is looking exactly the same for all the measurement points to this operator. So all the measurement points has exactly the same pattern for availability. And in this situation, this means that this problem is very close to the measurement point. In fact, it could mean that someone is unplugging the measurement point, because that would mean that it can't actually get access to it. But I haven't been unplugging the measurement points in this fashion. And also, if you look at the time and date, it's between 5:28 and 8 o'clock almost every day during a couple of weeks. So I would, and also during this couple of weeks, they had indicated that there would be problems because they were moving their infrastructure to new core infrastructure because of a buyout. Boostream has been bought by Bredbandsbolaget. So I would bet money that this is because of movement of distribution infrastructure. But I can't give you any indication if this is affecting more users than this one. Routing problems between operators. Problems with peering and transit. I would say that this is a second most interesting point. It's basically discovered when a measurement point has contact with some operators, but not with others. And basically, I would say that the chance that these problems are affecting a larger number of users is much greater than the other problems. The other problems can be related to that the person owning this measurement point is doing his vacuuming at between 5 and 8 in the morning, every morning. That's actually a scenario, even if it's unlikely. And that would mean that you get the same pictures. And here you have like a clear picture of operator connections between BoostStream and Cello. And you can see here that you get during 5 days in April last year. That was actually during last Rite meeting, I think. You got small hole here in the graph. Here you have perfect availability between Com Hem and Cello. On the next, you have Bredbandsbolaget and Bredbandsbolaget 2. Two measurement points at Bredbandsbolaget have exactly the same pattern. But GlocalNet have no problems. And GlocalNet and Cello, has the other Cello measurement point has no problems. Telia has no problems. And Song has no problems. So you can see that some operators have problems. Bredbandsbolaget and BoostStream. And as I told you before, Bredbandsbolaget and BoostStream basically the same operator nowadays. So in this case, I would say that this is likely some peering and transit problem. So if you look at the availability here, you can see that the log downtown is starting at 11:20 on the 28th of April. And you have like sporadic downtime once every minute and so. And it's continuing exactly in this pattern up to the 2nd of March, 16:10. Then it stops. And I actually did some, during this event, I don't have any screen dumps of that, but I did some measurement, and I did a 1 second delay ping for this connection. I saw that there were 60 seconds downtime, and then there were like 2 minutes availability, and then 60 seconds downtime. So I would bet that this is probably a router that's overloading and rebooting or something. But it's still speculation. I haven't talked to anybody about this, and all operators have indicated this was a problem. But as I said before, conclusions can draw some conclusions that it might be this problem. Okay, I'm doing some round trip and jitter measurements as well. Interesting for VoIP applications, where we have services in Sweden where you buy your VoIP applications from one service provider, and you use it on your internet connection from basically any internet provider. And you're basically you have to take in account the jitter and round trip time and the bandwidth between the operators, as well as the bandwidth you have on your own operator. It's not really a good idea for connections in use. I'm going to show you why later on. And these connections have all been in use, so that's because it was a cheap system. We used internet connections that were available. Round trip time for what? I've tried different tools, and every tool gives me different values. ICMP value give me one value, UDP give me another value, TCP give me a third value. So I can't give you any indications. What's the interesting part here? If I use a UDP ping application, it gives me 40 milliseconds, and I use an ICMP, it gives me 20 milliseconds, which is the accurate value? And also, if I use an application, will that application get the 20 milliseconds of the ICMP or the 40 milliseconds of the UDP? Or will that application, using WinSoc or any other kernel, or what the application is actually using, or hardware, be affected, giving an entirely different round trip time? So this is a problem. But I'm using ICMP because it's the accepted tool from network administrators. If you give them an ICMP round trip time, they're probably satisfied with that. And as I said, tools, kernels, drivers, I have no idea how to actually attack this. And as the last meeting, we had a presentation on the fact that the kernels in FreeBSD are actually adding delays to the packets, and that's probably what it should look like. I have a good round trip time. As I said, I'm sending 5 ICMP messages. Like I said, I'm plotting the max, the average, and the minimum values, and the standard deviation as the red line here. And you check the scale, that this is like 60 milliseconds, and the average here is 30 milliseconds, which is probably a good internet connection. Then we have interesting measurement here. We have a small bump. It's not a big bump, but still a bump. It's between 18 in the evening and 22 in the evening. Could be increased internet usage on this connection or increased bandwidth usage. We have a outage here, 8 o'clock till 12:20, about 20:20. This is actually a scheduled power outage. We actually showed down on the status screen there is actually this occurrence. And then I have a peak here. I can't say what this peak is. Could be someone downloading a large email on this internet connection. But it's a peak anyway. And then we have some bad round trip time. This is bad. It's at 700 milliseconds peak values. And you can see that the standard deviation is also very high here. You have up to 200 milliseconds standard deviation. And I actually can tell you what this is. It's my little sister doing file sharing. Okay, so when I'm done with all that, that was my like poor conclusions of this large infrastructure test. I can say that I have no problems with operators with fiber infrastructure. For some reason, operators with fiber to the home, Cisco Catalyst switches in the basement, and Ethernet connections to the old apartments, they have 100% availability. No problems. And that also means that we most likely have no problems with peering and transit. I would say that this gives a good indication that peering and transit in Sweden is working great. We saw some instances of problems, but they're not that severe, and they happen once in a while. I don't get any problems for measurement points hardware. I know that this is like beating my own drum, but it's working very good. I have some slides on that I'm going to show you in a while. The server is up, has been up for 1.5 years or something. It's been working great. Scripts working great. And this hasn't been any problem with vacuum cleans. There have been amazingly low number of outages because of vacuum cleaners. And this is showing you that a measurement point that has full connectivity all the times. You can see that there are small number of problems, and this is like we're talking about minutes of availability problems between these operators. Some idea on future management. As I talked about, I'm doing bandwidth management on other installations, and it's really not a good thing to do on connections in use. First of all, the people actually paying for the connections are going to tell me that, okay, but are you going to download things on my connections? I want to use that bandwidth for file sharing or downloading emails or something. I have some application I used before, NetPerf, iPerf. Most of you have used them, looked at them. It's working perfectly. It requires some bandwidth to get accurate results. I also build a prototype for HTTP download. It's in use. I've seen lots of sites on the internet. It basically works like you use a web client instead of a dedicated hardware. And if you want, you can try it out. You go to tilde.se. It basically sends you 100 bytes of HTML comments, and then it counts the time it takes you to ACK that amount of data, and it gives you bandwidth. And I see that the bandwidth from RIPE here is 327 kilobits per second. A couple of other crazy ideas. Could you do round-trip time for other protocols, UDP, TCP? I haven't solved the problems with kernels and drivers and applications yet, but could be interesting. Is it interesting to do hop counts to make sure if the packet route has changed or if it's taking another route, how many hops are it doing? Trace routes. I don't know if this is a valid tool. I have lots of problems with getting this to work. I can't actually give you if it's MPLS or why, but it doesn't seem to work on all my connections I've tried it on. Okay. So this is basically the presentation of the project. So I'm moving into the neat stuff now. So all the people that left, they are missing out on the hardware. Okay, I'm building this on PC Onion 6-inch wrap boxes. They are basically built to build wireless access points. And you can, it's a 266 megahertz ADM yield CPU. It doesn't actually draw any power or generate any heat. You can put it in a plastic bag and doesn't generate more heat than like 40 degrees or something. It has 128 meg ROM. You can put a compact flash card. I use 128 industrial grade. Industrial reason for that is the consumer flashes you buy tend to get a very limited number of write cycles, and they don't have the best controllers. So you tend to end up with a fried measurement points after 6 months, and then you have to go out and replace it. So they can, you can pay the extra money for a good flash card. OS, it supports any x86 OS. I prefer OpenBSD, of course. It draws about 3 to 5 watts at 12 DC. It has three 10-100 Ethernet ports using a national chipset. It's good for, I think, about 28 megabits uplink and 36 downlink. I think about that. So it's not the best for bandwidth management at high. It has a watchdog. It has a LM77 temperature monitor. It has serial console. And it has three LEDs you can flash. Very nice. And it has no keyboards, no VGA ports, no USB and power buttons. So if you install this at the site, there's nothing that the user can do except to connect power, the Ethernet, and possibly a serial cable, which is probably not having lying around, so pretty safe. This is a picture of the card. You can print and put on your wall if you like. It's made in Switzerland by a guy called Pascal. And this is a box. You can get three different colors. Okay. I use these ROM disk kernels then for the OS. They are primarily used for CDs and floppy-based OS installation. And they basically mean that you build a kernel that contains not only the kernel but also the distribution of the operating system. And when the kernel is booting, it's installing the operating system in the ROM disk. It means that you read the flash once when you boot, and then you leave it alone. It means longer lifespan on the flash and less corrupted. And you can also upgrade one kernel file and get not only the kernel but also the full distribution to the measurement point. That means that we can upgrade these measurement points over internet using SCP. More into that. The operating system based on OpenBSD 3.7. I don't patch anything, I just build it differently. You build around this kernel. It's not something that's unsupported by the OpenBSD team anyway. It's built, you build it for the installation, this media. It can follow releases, distribution and kernel. I use packet filter firewall. It builds into the kernel. DHCP and NAT on internal interfaces. So I can use it as a firewall as well. It's very important for the people I actually put the measurement points that they got the firewall for various reasons. I use an NTP for time syncing. It's very important because the delay in the measurement script has to mean that the times on all the measurement points has to be correct. I use a ROM-based round-robin syslog so I can log into the measurement point, get the syslog information on the console on the measurement point, but I also use a centralized logging server if it has network connection. And of course, I have to tell you that OpenBSD rocks, best operating system in the world. The remote management, I use SSH. It's secure, can be scripted. They all respond to SSH on non-standard ports, so they're not actually put in any SSH risk if people don't start doing port scans. I only allow public key authentication for master key, so I can use the master key to get access to all the measurement points in the script. I'm using SSH and SCP, and I'm basically going to do anything with the measurement points, for everything for all the measurement points at once. And I can do OS upgrades. Next example, for example, if I use to check temperatures at the different installations, it's between 28 and 47 degrees, depending on if they install it as some well-ventilated site or if it's under the closet somewhere. I can check the date to verify that the date is correct and that MTP is working. It seems to be working okay. The delay here is obviously the SSH script connecting to each probe. I can also do an easy upgrade. I just type upgrade all. It moves the old kernel to OBSD, installs the new kernel to flash, and then reboot the measurement points. It's pretty easy to upgrade the measurement points. Okay, what do you think about my botnet here? I can use it for spam as well if you like. Okay, for those who don't like SSH, I build a web management, web-based management. It's basically the reason for this is was because I built this solution for deployment to people that didn't really understand serial consoles and so on. So when they wanted to install the measurement points, they can use the web-based interface. Contains a couple of logs, configuration, NATSTAT, firewall config, and so on. And you can open it on external Ethernet ports using a debug command. It looks like this. Basically gives you information. And this is basically something I can use if the person installing it couldn't get it to work. You can cut and paste this, send it an email to me, and I can verify that everything is working with processes, IP address, configuration, and so on. You have a menu, you can get access to different features like debugging, logging, temperature graphs, ping, trace routing, iperf. You can also change the host name. Everything in this measurement point is generic except the host name. The host name is what's deciding which identity it's using when it does measurements and when it's reporting to the server. Also, you can configure the IP address on the one side. And this is the debugging log. It shows you basically everything happening on the machine, all the cron jobs running, HTTP server, and so on. I've even installed RD tool to do temperature graphing. And I can actually execute pings and stuff and change the host name and the VAN configuration. Okay, so I've actually done the bragging about my cool botnet, so I can draw some conclusions. Okay, is this any good? It's not really, I think. It doesn't really do anything. It doesn't really answer any questions clearly. It doesn't actually give you any, this internet connection is now down, and what can you do about it? You can't actually draw any conclusions. What caused the problem? Where is the problem located, and so on? And 9 measurement points is really not a good representation of the Swedish internet. Even though it's a small country, I promise you we have more internet connections than 9. And also, people in Sweden tend to use resources from other parts of the world. So the Swedish internet is not the entirely the most important thing here. But I can tell you that the good thing is that it will never give you a false positive. If a connection is up and the system says it has been up, it has been working for that time. So basically what we did learn from this test was that we have no problems with peering and transit. We have no problems with availability in general. The problems we have is like Neil told us last RIPE meeting, and I'm sorry I didn't agree with you then, but the problems we have is DSL connections. We have problems with operators not providing services to all the users the last couple of kilometers. Yeah, problems that are actually affecting these measurement systems, like multi-operator infrastructure, that's actually getting more and more common. We have network owner, and he's not providing the service himself to customers. He's providing the infrastructure, even up to the physical port in the apartment for the customer. But he has contracted service provider to actually provide the service, the internet service. And the only thing we see is the IP address of the internet service. We don't see the physical infrastructure that's using. So we have Boostream with one network owner, and we have Boostream with another network owner getting 2 different quality values because they're using 2 different networks. But it's the same service provider. We also doesn't have enough measurement points. We'll never have enough measurement points. It's like a futile goal here. Measurements are made from consumer connections. doesn't someone, if someone was here from a connection point, they would probably say that you're not measuring our connectivity because you're doing it from consumer connections. Any problems or problem with the consumer connection and not with a peering and transit connection. And they're probably right. And we're only doing it from the Swedish part of the internet. So I want to end with who needs it. Well, at least I'm doing it, so someone needs it and paying me for it to doing it. So CTX needs it. And they probably think that consumer needs it because consumer needs to know if it's a problem with my operator or my connection or if it's a problem with the internet in general. And also, how is traffic flowing between my office and my home connection? And this is like a problem operators have no understanding. I want to connect my VPN to my office connection. It's a different internet provider. And your internet connection your connection with this operator isn't good enough. I'm getting latency and packet drops. And they basically have, yeah, but we don't guarantee anything up to our core networks. So we guarantee availability and capacity of 10 megabits or what they guarantee up to our core network. And on to your, if you have an office in South Africa, we don't guarantee that you get below 20 milliseconds response time because that's internet. But this actually gives you some understanding on, give the consumer understanding on what, how the infrastructure is working. Also, this is a problematic issue. I'm not saying that I'm telling you this, that some operators and connections are better than others. And also, you can't actually quote me on that I'm saying that some operators are better than others, except that I may be saying that the tendency seems to be that fiber infrastructure works better than ADSL. PTS needs it. How is the Swedish part of the internet working? Part of their assignment to actually make sure that they know this. Operators know this, wants this, but they don't really realize it yet. Basically checking how well their peering and transit is actually working, not just checking the interface on the router port to the connection. Yep, that's it. Any questions?
Okay, Richard, thank you very much for this. I think it is an excellent approach that you're trying to do there. I can only speak for a huge private internet user company, and we have connectivity throughout the world on the internet. We would like to have such a measurement system in place for the entire world,
yeah,
really to know what's going on, what's happening there. And I can promise you, we are working with ISPs on service level agreements. They are very reluctant nowadays, but the market pressure will prove that they will have to provide it. And this is an excellent step forward. So congratulations to this one.
Yeah, I will tell Pascal to that we get a big order soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Heinrich Hauser from Amadeus Data Processing. So Amadeus is a global reservation system. All of you who had done a trip here have contributed to our revenue. Thanks.
Ruben Staven from Ripe NC. Just wondering if you were also using the priority queuing facility in the PF then?
No, I'm not using any, because I see your point. If my sister would have been allowed to use a little bit smaller bandwidth so I can get through my ICMP package, it would probably be better measurements. But I wanted to do clean measurements showing the actual infrastructure.
Yeah, but can help your peer-to-peer
traffic. Yeah, probably. But also, as I said, I'm not paying for these internet connections. They're offered by my friends and family they are very nice to me. So I'm saying I'm not giving them any constraints of using their internet connection. I'm only giving them they get a neat firewall with possibly better security than some other cheap firewalls on the market. So. Okay.
Okay. So no more questions. Let's speak around. And then Lukik is up next. You're doing this from your own laptop?
Sorry?
You want to do this from your own laptop?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Hi, good evening. My name is Lauke Kodarimoti. I work for Dante. Dante manages the European Backbone Research Network called GIANT, if you have heard of it. GIANT is now stepping into GIANT 2. It's been a year since we started migrating. Dante has been involved with the EGE project, apart from the GIANT 2 projects as well. So two of my talks are about the projects. The first